Welcome to North Coast Conversation, a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. I'm your host, Bruce Van Dyke. On today's North Coast Conversation, we'll get you excited for summer reading with the Lorain Public Library System and more gardening tips with Lorain County horticulturalist Charles Benke. Now, this week's North Coast Conversation. Joined this morning to talk with the folks from the Lorain Public Library System, we have Jennifer Winkler, who is the Director of Community Engagement, here to talk all about some of the things happening during the summer. And you can't talk about a library in summer without talking about the summer reading program, right, Jennifer?
You sure can. That's our staple over the summer each year, that's for certain.
So what is the theme, as I always like to find out, what's the theme for this year's summer reading program?
Absolutely. So this year's theme is Adventure Begins at the Library. And there's different themes across the nation, but that tends to be the nationwide one. So we did go with that this year. And we think it's very apt because obviously books are a way of exploration, and it's a way that you can travel to different cultures, different countries, different times, you know, without having to leave the comfort of your own home. So we're really kind of focused on that adventure element this year.
Right. And you can go to different things. You can go to mystical adventures, real life adventures, that sort of type of thing. So that covers quite a bit. What's the challenge this year? You always try to have some incentive. Talk a little bit about what kids and families can sign up for.
Absolutely. So I always want to emphasize that our summer reading challenge is open for all ages. So birth and up. So we have a game board, and our game board has different challenges on it, and we want to make it as convenient as possible for families. So yes, this is to beat summer slide, to help you and your children, or really folks of all ages, stay engaged, whether it's attending library programs, because so many of those, you know, supplement school curriculums for our students, or whether it's reading or learning a new skill. So we leave it very open, so you're going to find different challenges, like learn something new about the environment, or read an adventure book, or read a book about another culture. So we leave it very open-ended, and every time you do four challenges, and you can tell it's a challenge because each challenge is a circle, you get to come in and you pick out a small prize. So one of my favorite things about the small prizes are that we actually give out free books that are yours to keep, because we want to emphasize the importance of literacy, having books available. So folks of all ages get a chance to keep out a book. And these are bestsellers. These are the ones that you're currently seeing on the bestseller list. These are ones that you're currently seeing in the stores, and you get to keep them. We also have a variety of other types of prizes, too. We have, like, Galaxy Slime this year. We have, like, the little squishies. And then you also get a chance to be entered into a drawing for one of our grand prizes. And like I said, this is for all ages. So one of the prizes is the max membership to the Great Lakes Science Center this year. So you'll have access to that for an entire year. We have night sky binoculars. We're giving away a blender. We have a giant elephant and a giant sloth, a Lego set. So there's lots of things. And we've done this for the past few years because it's been our most popular request is a Nintendo Switch with a game as well, too. So, again, we want folks to be excited about reading. As a librarian, I'm always going to talk to that child or that parent and say, you know, if they're coming to me and saying, like, my child, they don't enjoy reading. And to me, that's always a really fun, almost challenge, because it's almost like then we haven't had the right conversation to find the right book for them to really inspire that love of reading. But we leave it very open-ended because we want folks to be engaged. So you get to pick which challenges you want to do. Every four that you do, you come in, and you can get a small prize, up to four small prizes per family. But you can earn an unlimited amount of entries to the grand prize drawing.
Wow. And this, sign up now, how long does the contest go on to?
Absolutely. So it actually opened yesterday, so this is like the perfect time frame, and it goes through June 10th. And you know what? I get a lot of people might be on vacation right now. You know, we had some schools that let out before Memorial Day, and we had others that were letting out last week. So even if you don't get a chance to come into the library for another week or two, that's fine. You can always start keeping track of those challenges you're doing now. When you get your game board, you're just going to go ahead and mark off the ones that anything that you completed as of June 10th, And again, that runs through August 10th.
Okay, June 10th through August 10th for the summer reading challenge for the Lorain Public Library System, all different branches as well. And people, if they have not been to some of the branches, things have changed. I know Avon had their big unveiling last year. This time around, it's on North Ridgeville, getting some more creative space. Talk a little bit about some of those, if you can, these areas where they become sort of maker sites. You know, it's not just all about books, right?
Absolutely. So part of the library is we always want to adapt and grow and meet community needs. So actually, June 1st was our big reopening at the North Ridgeville branch, and people are kind of always amazed when we say, believe it or not, that branch is, you know, was 20 years old. Time kind of flies. But when that branch was built there 20 years ago, there was a lot more demand for computer classes, and that's kind of changed over time. People are bringing in different devices. We see things from iPads now to different tablets, and we do individualized tech help appointments. We still do the computer classes, but where we're kind of seeing that shift is there's even more technology that's available, so things like 3D printers, laser engravers, and part of what we want to do as a library is promote accessibility, so being able to provide some of those pieces of equipment that, to be quite honestly, aren't always the most affordable option to maybe have in your home, so that we can have classes on those types of equipment, so that you can learn basics of CAD, so that you can do designing. You could do, we have the Cricut at many of our branches. The North Ridgeville branch, their big piece of equipment is they have a long arm quilter. So you can come in and learn the software and learn the mechanics of that. And then once you've gone through those classes so that you learn like the safety protocols, how to use the equipment, you can actually then book that piece of equipment and come in and use it at your leisure. So if it's for crafting or if it's for a small business, and we've certainly heard from like local entrepreneurs that they've used those equipment, and then they found that they have a need for them. And then because they've had the exposure and have been able to learn about it in the library, they've gone ahead and invested it for their own local business. Or we just have crafters that are in fairly regularly enjoying that equipment as well. So that's one of the ways that we just want to keep up with demand and meet that growing community need. So like at Avon, they have the giant Roland printer, which can print on vinyl. But all of the information, if folks are looking for more, if they go to our website, which is lorainpubliclibrary.org, you can click on the branches. So our main library has a makerspace. So they're going to have some updates later this year, our Avon branch and our North Ridgeville branch, and you can see what the equipment is that's available. I do want to mention our programs went live, so you can register for programs on our website. And then our Makerspace programs at the North Ridgeville branch, just because that just went live June 1st, all of those classes actually will open up this week on June 15th.
Hmm. Have you had a chance to try out any of this equipment at all, or take a look at some of that and see what you can do with them?
So I've had the, we've really been focused a lot on the staff training. So I've had the privilege of working with a few pieces of the equipment. I have a Cricut myself at home, but I'm actually excited to be learning from some of my colleagues a little bit more about it, especially the long arm quilter. But it's really amazing to see what everyone kind of comes up with and designs. Some of the staff made like their own T-shirts this year to promote like summer reading. They did that on the Cricut, cut out some of the vinyl and used the heat press. So I will say that I need to get into the makerspace and explore that equipment a little bit more, but I'm really excited for that opportunity.
Well, let's talk about your maker in residence, I guess, over at the DeMoncus branch. This painter, Maya Arabuli, did I get her name right on that?
Yes, I believe you did, yes. Yeah.
And so there's you have sort of people there that kind of show some techniques as well, and to sort of inspire others maybe to follow in a similar kind of creativity.
Yes, we're really excited. So we partner with local. The wonderful thing about our Maker in Residence program is that we partner with local artists, really in Lorain County, to kind of feature them. So at DeMoncus this year, it's Maya. She's a painter. So if you haven't seen any of her work, I highly encourage you to check it out. So not only will she be doing interactive programs to teach technique, she'll do open studio hours as well, where you can kind of come observe her work. So she'll be our maker in residence for the summer. And then we're actually working right now on scheduling other folks, believe it or not, for 2020-2025. But it's a way to, you know, highlight the amazing talent that we have in the library. So the nice thing is it does travel to all of our other branches. Sometimes we work with local business owners out of Maine, Avon, and now North Ridgeville that will actually be able to teach things in the Create space as well, too. But we definitely bring it out to other communities. So you get to see different art forms, whether it's painting or poetry. We've had fashion design in the past. We've had music production. So if any local artists are interested as well, you can visit our website at LorainePublicLibrary.org, and the application's on there if you ever want to apply to be a local resident artist for us for 3 months. Mm.
One of the neatest things that you guys have, and that's been, I don't know how many years, Hal, for the little library on the lake. Talk about that. And
yes.
That's sort of grown over time and become accepted at that part of and Lorain.
Absolutely. So Little Library on the Lake, believe it or not, is going to be in its fourth year. We rolled it out in 2020. All of that had kind of been in plan pre-COVID. So I will say, I feel like we really didn't get it real up and running until 2021, but we did establish it in 2020, and it's a shipping container library that was done in partnership with the Lorain County Metro Parks and Lorain County Public Health, and it's located at Lakeview Beach, but it's a converted shipping container. And because books and water don't mix very well, we do have a small selection of books there, but the focus of Little Library on the Lake is what we would call a non-traditional collection. So we circulate a lot of games that are perfect for the beach, or like we have the tennis courts nearby, so there's tennis equipment, we have volleyball, we have beach umbrellas and beach chairs, sandcastle buckets, we circulate bikes, we have bird watching kits, so it's different equipment that you can check out, again, all for free with your library card, and use that day and enjoy it while you're at the beach and just be able to return it right there. So again, it provides accessibility, but also getting people out and about in the community, hoping to also promote a healthier lifestyle as well, too. So we also have a little library at the park, which is at Oakwood Park with the pool opening. So we have some limited hours there, a few Saturdays, and then Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, and they're going to be circulating other types of equipment. We added a bunch of family-friendly games this year as well, so like a giant Kerplunk. We also have like the giant Jenga, so it's something that you could check out even just for a short amount of time if you kind of want to break up your beach day.
Do you have a specific staff, or do people rotate in and out staffing those different locations?
That's a great question. So we have a fabulous outreach team, and outreach, they are generally the ones that are out in the community. So they're the ones that are visiting daycares, or they're the ones that are visiting senior centers. So you'll typically see a lot of our outreach staff at our little library on the lake, but we do kind of change it up because we're very fortunate that our amazing staff are also interested in sometimes, especially when you have a really beautiful, like 75 sunny day, who wouldn't want to go work on the beach for 4 hours? So you will see some friendly faces that you know from your local branches, but it's mainly our outreach staff, and then our South Lorain staff are the folks that you'll typically see at our little library in the park at Oakwood Park.
Right. Well, you always think of some beach, some chair, and a book, right? That's usually like a summer
exactly.
Read, right? They kind of go together.
Exactly. And you can sign up for summer reading, check out an activity, and then you've already accomplished two things on our game board. So you can do it all at once.
You mentioned a lot of different collaborations. So one other thing that the Lorain County Metro Parks is involved with this year is the 80th birthday of Smokey Bear. And there's
yes.
A special challenge related, or at least related to that. Talk, if you can briefly share some of that with us.
Yeah, so the National Park Service is actually celebrating Smokey the Bear's 80th birthday, so they reached out to public libraries all throughout the state of Ohio. The Lorain Public Library System is partnering, and we were lucky enough that when we reached out to the Lorain County Metro Parks, they were thrilled for this opportunity. So the Lorain County Metro Parks actually have like specific programming designed around the Smokey the Bear Challenge, most of which is all free, so you can check out their website for more information. region. A lot of this, I will say that these programs, the challenge for Smokey the Bear, is aimed at children ages 4 through 10, and it's really to help them learn about the importance of wilderness, preserving the environment, learning about how to prevent forest fires, and just kind of taking care of the environment so we can preserve it for our next generation. Folks just kind of need to kind of take a oath. They read some books, and hey, you're already reading as part of our summer reading program as well, too. So the books that you read for Smokey the Bear's Challenge, you can also read towards our summer reading challenge, and then it has different activities that you can do, whether it's going to one of the Metro Parks activities or just visiting the park or just taking a walk or doing something kind for the environment. So everything that you do that you can participate in Smokey the Bear's Challenge, there's no cost to it, but it helps. We're hoping it helps especially youth have a better appreciation of nature.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing about the library. Free, right? That's what that's what's great for all the things. Just get that library card. LorainePublicLibrary.org is a good place to visit to get some information, or stop by one of your branches and you'll be able to sign up as well for the summer reading program and take advantage of all the things that the libraries have to offer. Jennifer, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Bruce. I really appreciate it.
Jennifer Winkler, Director of Community Engagement with the Lorain Public Library System, joining us this morning. Joining us is Charles Benke, Lorain County's horticulturalist. He joined us in studio and had a chance to ask him about my ant situation.
First of all, ants are usually coming into the house because there's a food supply. You need to do vacuuming a little bit more. They just vacuum up the crumbs.
All right.
Okay? Don't say
you
that.
You could say that with not so much of contempt the way you said that to me. You need to do some more vacuuming.
Well, you do.
Well, I do. Yes, I do. But
for one thing,
right?
That's the basic, some other basic things. Caulk around your house, especially the foundation area, the whole sill foundation and around window frames. Caulk that area up because ants are getting in through those areas. Then you might start looking as to where ants might be coming along. They can be coming in where the garden hose is attached to the house. Sometimes that area needs to be caulked. They might also be coming in along the electrical lines or other communication lines into your house. They can come in that way. Ants usually are looking for food that's in the house. And so there are crumbs usually in the floor that are attracting them. And you need to get those picked up.
Okay. Are they coming from moisture too? Or
not necessarily. Okay. But, you know, a moisture problem from an eave trough that is backed up from leaves and things can cause a wet area, and especially carpenter ants love that sort of area. The smaller, tinier ants that you might be seeing are things such as probably the thief ant that likes some kind of lard or fat type material, peanut butter.
Okay.
All those late night peanut butter sandwiches you've been eating are attracting them. But there's also the little pavement ants that are quite prevalent around the foundation of the home. They're the ones that typically make the little inch and a half mound near the foundation of the home. And they are just around, and a little treatment with an insecticide next to the foundation will take them out.
I've seen it. I do have what they're almost like granules that you can kind of create a barrier around your foundation that sort of take care of any kind of insect around there, too.
Yeah, those granular materials do work well on ants. They'll work on things such as saw bugs and the centipedes and ground beetles and everything else that's next to your house. You might also look at the amount of mulch that you have next to your house, too, because a heavy mulching job, getting over more than that inch and a half, might indicate you need to pull some of that away, especially near the foundation of the home.
Okay. Warmer months now bring more mosquitoes. What can we do to prevent them, or at least to keep them at a minimum for us?
Well, again, look for water that may be around your house. Eave troughs that are not draining, make sure that the leaves are out of there and the eaves are draining. If you have children and children's toys, make sure that those are turned over on a daily basis, especially after a rain, so that any little one-inch water puddle is enough for mosquitoes to get going. If there are any soda pop cans beer cans, coffee mugs, you know, get those picked up around the yard and neighborhood, just to be sure that water is controlled.
All right. Take me out to my lawn now. What should we be doing for our lawn in general? And I got a specific question on.
Okay, so. In general, keep it mowed. We want to stay mowed at about 2.5 inches high right now. Remember, we're getting into summer. It's more stressful. We get less rain unless you're watering. With less watering, it's going to be stopping its growth now. We're still in a phase of where there's flower stems being produced on grass, but that'll end by the end of June. And so mow high and make sure that your mower is sharp. And other than that, should be okay.
All right. I got what I think is a lot of oxalis, maybe?
Oxalis. It has a little yellow flower.
A little yellow flower on it, right.
Yeah, it looks like a clover leaf.
Yes, exactly, like that. What's my best remedy for that?
Well, there are broadleaf weed control.
So that would work the same with the one that fits the dandelions, then?
Yes.
Okay.
I would use a liquid product, and I'd also add in what they call a surfactant. It's called spreader sticker. It's sold as a small container of extra stuff you can add to your weed control spray, and it helps spread and stick the herbicide onto the leaves a little bit better, so you get good control.
It's called what now?
It's called a spreader sticker.
But it's not for your spreader, it's for your sprayer.
Yeah, it's for the sprayer. It's a liquid. You only need a couple drops of it. A couple drops of, like, Dawn dish detergent.
I was going to say it's almost some sort of, okay.
Same idea.
I see.
And in fact, a couple drops of, you know, dish detergent will work. Just don't get carried. A couple drops.
Right, I don't want to wash.
That means, like, 3 drops.
I understand.
That's all you need. It'll break the surface tension on some of these really more waxy leaves, like oxalis or clover. And we'll make the herbicide work better.
And I got to do that sort of where there's no rain in the immediate future, right?
Right. Typically 24 hours.
Okay.
You can kind of watch how the rain goes, you know. Normally, if you put your material on in the morning, the sunshine comes out, things dry on properly. But hopefully there's no rain predicted.
Right. Well, I'll try. Well, these days you get rain every hour, and then it's sunny for the rest of the day or whatever.
Right.
So you have
to the weather.
Sure, and we'll keep up on that. But that'll help me with that sort of thing. I appreciate that because sometimes it looks kind of nice, but I don't want to be the only one with the yellow flowers in my yard.
And actually, a very good fall treatment will do a better job. You might have, there's several different types of oxalis, and you'll find that actually a September, kind of a mid-September treatment, and perhaps something with a little bit of a pre-emergent in would be of help too in early springtime.
Are we coming up on another fertilization for our lawn?
Or? We can if you're a heavy feeder, you know, if you really are feeding the lawn around 4th of July, again, could be another feeding. But again, make sure you're watering to make sure the fertilizer works. Other than that, a good the two fertilizations right now, kind of just around the Memorial Day and then again Labor Day, are two excellent times to feed your lawn.
How about any perennials? Can we just plant those now, too, at any time? What's your thoughts?
If you buy potted perennials, I'd say there's no problem. If you're going to dig up and divide things, the temperature is getting too hot, and it's getting too dry, unless you're willing to water more to make sure they get established. I would not really be dividing kind of my homegrown perennials September.
Maybe add some more hostas in some areas that once were.
If you want to do more hostas, buy the
the potted ones.
Sure. And put them in, water them, and take care of them. Control the deer, of course.
And I can do shrubs too. I mean, can I?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Shrubs can be put in. Trees can be put in, but be sure to continue to water. And even anything you planted earlier this spring, be sure that those things are watered thoroughly and just let the hose trickle there for at least a half an hour to an hour to thoroughly wet the ground so that those roots get established into the surrounding soil.
All right. Well, lots to think about as we get into the growing season. It's a continuous enjoyment, something of battle maybe, depending on when you do it. But as I realize, once you plant something, you kind of are responsible for watering it and doing it more. So I'm trying to limit how much I have to do out there, especially with the vegetable gardens, using a lot of potted, you know, container vegetable gardens. which is a tricky thing in itself, I think.
Right. Again, container plant material, make sure you have a large enough container. You keep it watered on a regular basis, but do let it dry down and may perhaps feed about every 2 weeks or so that the plants grow.
Okay. I got a rabbit in their backyards, too, so they kind of helped me with
Pruning.
Thank you very much for the most part, I think. All right, Charles Behnke, our guest this morning, joining us, talking about good things. Charles Behnke, horticulturalist. If people want to get some good information, where's a good site? You always mention something related to the Buckeye, Ohio line.
There's a place called, if you want to look up specific information, ohioline.osu.edu has a lot of fact sheets available, and you can get accurate information there. If you want to get a weekly kind of a newsletter. It's called BYGL at osu.edu. And that will get you a weekly newsletter about various ornamental pests.
So they keep us up to date on what's maybe trending throughout the state.
Really a statewide newsletter.
Sounds good. Charles Behnke, horticulturist, joining us today, getting us some good information for this growing season.
North Coast Conversation is a public service presentation of AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL. If you'd like to check out this or other programs from North Coast Conversation, go to WEOL.com, click on the on-air tab, and you'll find North Coast Conversation. I'm Bruce Van Dyke. Thanks for listening to North Coast Conversation on AM 930 and 100.3 FM WEOL.